For our reading this evening, let's turn to the Acts of the Apostles and read chapter number 14. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14. Perhaps just a little background before we begin. This is the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey, and this is the second half of that journey. He is beginning his way back home to Antioch in Syria, where he began, and the Lord was working through him. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and from thence sailed to Antioch. from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. I believe that all of us are very familiar with the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ had given to the apostles and how he had sent them forth. We are familiar with this, with these words here at the end of Matthew's gospel, where he says to his disciples before he ascends back to the Father, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." He was giving them that commission, that they should go forth and teach all nations. We are very familiar with that scripture. But that's not the only place where the scriptures record that the disciples were to go forth. And so another one is written here in John's gospel, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Jesus is telling them, "I came forth from the Father, and I was sent, and I brought forth his word to all of you." And he's saying, in that same manner, I'm sending you. So he says, "Even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And so those disciples there were filled with the Holy Ghost there, even from that time when the Lord breathed on them. And then we get into the Acts of the Apostles, and the Bible I have at home notes that in the book of Acts, the key verse for the book of Acts is found in chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So these scriptures they're not new to us. We're familiar with them. We're familiar that the Lord Jesus Christ had come down here upon this earth and had brought forth the message of his Father. And then when he went to ascend back to his Father, he commissioned his disciples to go forth, not in their own power, but in the power of the Holy Ghost, to go and teach all nations those things which he had taught them. And so we see this played out here in the scriptures that we read this evening. They brought forth the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was effectual. It had power. It changed hearts. It changed lives forever. And we have it documented and are thankful that Luke took this time here to write, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to write these things which had transpired. And so it was here that that Saul became Apostle Paul. He was converted. He was zealous for the Lord, but with ignorance. But when he came to that knowledge of the Lord, and the Lord had appeared to him on that way to Damascus, that he was converted and that he became a believer in Jesus Christ, and he understood through the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, that he was the Messiah whom the Lord God had sent. And so he he was growing in the Lord. And they were in Antioch, the Antioch that is in Syria. And it says that, the Bible says that it was there that the believers were first called Christians. And here Paul and Barnabas, were with quite a few others were here in this Antioch of Syria, and they were ministering unto the Lord and fasted. And then the Holy Ghost says to these faithful believers here in Antioch and says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The Holy Ghost was calling Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas, as at this time his name was Saul still, that the Holy Spirit was calling them out to a work that he had in mind for them. And he was going to be empowering them just as the Lord Jesus Christ had said so. And so they went forth. It says, they fasted and they prayed and they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, went forth to Seleucia and continued on in their journey. They were sent forth of the Holy Ghost. Jesus says, wait here in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And the Holy Ghost will come unto you and will empower you. And he will give you a remembrance of the things that I have taught you, as Jesus says. So they make their journey and they go to the island of Cyprus. And there's a man who was a deputy. And he, this is, again, the first missionary journey. This is the first time that the disciples were being sent out across the land into the regions far beyond Jerusalem and Judea, and to the Gentiles. So they get to Cyprus, and there's a deputy in this country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. He wanted to believe, but there was a sorcerer whose name was Bar-Jesus, and he didn't want that deputy to believe, and so he was trying to keep the deputy away from Barnabas and Saul. Then Saul, says, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't do this of himself. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. They were sent forth in the Holy Ghost. They were operating underneath the power of the Holy Ghost. He sets eyes on this sorcerer and he says, "O thou full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord be upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." It wasn't that the apostle Paul was going to blind him forever, but it was that he would be blinded but for a season, that he would recognize where power is. That there wasn't power in the sorcery that he was involved in, but that the Lord had ultimate power. And when that deputy saw what was done to this sorcerer, he believed. He believed. He came to faith. He came to faith. And so they go and they come to a city called Antioch. And this is an Antioch. It's called Antioch in Pisidia. It's an area different from the Antioch in Syria. And they bring forth the gospel message. The law was read in a synagogue. And after the law was read in this synagogue, the people of Antioch said to Paul and Barnabas, "If you have something to say, say on. Go ahead and say." So Paul and Barnabas start speaking the message of the Bible, of the truth. And they bring forth the history of Israel and talked about how God, with a strong arm, took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he lays out everything that happened. But then he breaks off from where the Jews would not break off. They were waiting for their Messiah, not recognizing that Jesus Christ had already come. They bring to them the recollection of David. David was a man after God's own heart, but he fulfilled his duty after he did the will of God, and he fell on sleep, and he lay in corruption. But they said, but not Jesus. No, through him, God raised him, and he saw no corruption. And then he says, further to the believer, or to the Jews and to the Gentiles both in Antioch, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, by Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified through the law of Moses." And so they lay out for Barnabas and Paul, lay out for the people in Antioch the truth of the gospel. They went forth and they spoke the message of the gospel, and how there is forgiveness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God had sent, who is the Son of God, who is the Anointed One, who is the Messiah that was for to come. Some didn't like it. And those that didn't like it, they made others to be ill affected toward Barnabas and Saul. But it says that the next Saturday, almost the whole city of Antioch, they all come together to the synagogue and they want to hear more of this message. And when the Jews saw that multitude, they were filled with envy. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Can you just imagine? Here's the whole city, almost the whole city gathered together at this synagogue to hear Paul and Barnabas preach of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they knew that there was power there. They knew that there was power there. And here's some Jews contradicting and blaspheming, saying, "No, that's not true. No, he wasn't the Messiah. You think that man that hung on a cross and was buried was the Messiah? He wasn't the Messiah." They were blaspheming and contradicting the things that Paul and Barnabas were saying. But Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and they continued to bring forth that message. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. So those in Antioch, though there were those that believed, who clung to the teaching of the apostles, there were those that persecuted them, and so much so that they were expelled out of the city of Antioch. And so, as the Bible says here, they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul and Barnabas weren't defeated. This didn't upset them. They were going to continue on. And so they come to Iconium. They leave Antioch, they come to Iconium. And it came to pass at Iconium that they were both together in the synagogue, Paul and Barnabas, and so spake. They spoke the gospel so powerfully through the power of the Holy Ghost working in them, teaching the teachings of Jesus Christ, "Repent ye and believe the gospel. Lay down your life, take up your cross, and follow me." And all the teachings of Jesus Christ, "Love the Lord God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." They brought forth this message, and they spake it in such a manner that a great multitude in Iconium here now, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, they believed. So there were those that, as Paul and Barnabas were making their way through Cyprus and then through Pisidia, then up to Antioch, and now in Lystra, in Iconium, there were those that believed. There were those that believed this message of the truth, the message of the gospel that came down from heaven above. And they believed it. It says, "But the unbelieving Jews in Iconium stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." Just as those in Antioch did, those in Iconium here are doing the same thing. The unbelieving Jews are blaspheming and contradicting the things which Paul and Barnabas are saying. It didn't stop them. It didn't stop them. It couldn't stop the power of the Holy Spirit. They were bringing forth the power of the gospel that has the ability to change hearts and to change lives, not like the law of Moses could do. And so, even though there were those that were were stirring up the Gentiles against the believers, it says that they long time abode there, still speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The Lord was pleased with what Paul and Barnabas were doing here in Iconium and on this journey as a whole. And so much so that the Lord was pleased with them that he gave testimony to the word of the grace of which they spoke. And the Lord allowed that miracles would be done by their hands. We don't know what these miracles were specifically. Sufficient what is written is enough for our faith, for our belief, to believe that these things are true. One thing that is written here is about the lame man. But in this instance, that it says that there were plural signs and wonders done by their hands, these things aren't mentioned exactly what they were. It says, but the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, in part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about thereof. There was persecution in Antioch. They left and they came down to Iconium. There is persecution in Iconium. They leave there and they go to Lystra. And it says that there they preach the gospel. There they preach the gospel. Again, Jesus says, go forth to all nations, teaching them the things that I have taught you. And this is what they were fulfilling. This is what they were doing. Not in their own power at all, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. It says, there they preach the gospel. So they're here at Lystra, and there's a certain man there, impotent on his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly, beholding him and perceived that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he walked. The power of the Spirit was in Paul in so much that he could discern whether a man had enough faith that if he were to give him the power to walk, that he would have sufficient faith that he could walk. But not only did he walk, but he leaped as well. This was the power of the Holy Spirit working through the lives of those who yielded themselves to the power of the Spirit, who didn't go forth in their own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's this portion of the story here afterwards that the people saw and they marveled and they said, wow, the gods are come down to us in the form of man. And here's Mercurius, and here's Jupiter, and let's take these garlands and oxen and let's sacrifice them to our gods, because our gods made these men, the gods to come down in the likeness of men. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Saul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We are also are men of like passions with you. They're saying, this isn't of us. We're just men just like you are. Peter had the same comments to those who thought highly of him as well when he made an impotent, a lame man to walk. He says, if you're looking on me as if by my own power I made this man to walk, you're wrong. And so they're saying the same, Paul and Barnabas are saying the same to these men here at Lystra. Why would you do these things? Why would you sacrifice? Why would you think that the gods are come down in the likeness of men? And he says, we're preaching unto you that you should turn from these idols. Again, the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ sent forth the disciples to preach forth the gospel, to teach all nations. And so it didn't matter whether they were in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra here. They were teaching and preaching, and he was preaching to them specifically here. He's saying, preaching unto you that ye should turn from these vanities. Turn from these vanities. They don't mean anything. And so likewise in our lives, we would never think to take oxen and garlands and sacrifice them. That's vanity, we think. But there's so many vanities of this life that perhaps we put undue emphasis on. Perhaps we can let go of those things and recognize they're just vanities. And they ought not to occupy our minds or our hearts. They're just vanities. Turn from these vanities unto the living God, to the living God who gives power, who can change a heart, who can change a life, who can grant peace, who can grant grace, and who can grant them joy that no man can take away from them. He says, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. But now the message of the gospel has gone forth to all nations, to all nations, as Jesus Christ had spoken to the disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded unto you. And so all nations are to turn away from their willful ways and unto the Lord. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, and they had not done sacrifice unto them. And then another event happens. There was this glory that a man that was impotent from his mother's womb, for his whole life, he's leaping and he's walking, and there's joy, and then all of a sudden, there's some bad news. There's some bad news. It says, and there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. So here they are. They left Antioch because of persecution. They left Iconium because of persecution. And they come down here to Lystra. Miracles are done, and there's joy. But now the news is, oh, there's some Jews that just arrived into town. There's some Jews that just got here. They don't look happy, and they have bad intentions. It didn't move them. It didn't move them. These Jews came down and they persuaded the people and they stoned Paul and drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as his disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. The Lord was still working. It wasn't that these men had power. The Lord still had intent to use Paul and Barnabas, and that the gospel would continue to be brought forth. So they leave now Lystra, and they go to Derbe. So Paul and Barnabas could have been talking as they're making their way down the road to Derbe and said, well, maybe we ought to lighten up on the message a little bit. Maybe repentance doesn't have to really be said. And if they want to serve their other gods, let them serve their other gods, but let them also serve the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's not what they did. Not at all. They were going forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible here says that when they had preached the gospel to Derbe, that city, when they had preached the gospel there and had taught many, they taught many there. It wasn't that they did it in a corner, But again, they knew what happened to them in Antioch. They knew what happened to them in Iconium and at Lystra. And now they're at Derbe, and they're doing the same thing. They're telling everybody about Jesus Christ and the gospel message, how they need to repent of their sins, how they need to walk in newness of life, how they ought to please the Lord. And they taught many. And then what do? They've come to the end of their journey as far as they would go in their first missionary journey, and now they're making their way back. So now, as they leave Derbe, they're coming to these cities where they suffered persecution. So they come back now through Lystra, they come back through Iconium, and they come back through Antioch, and they confirm the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we, through much tribulation, should enter into the kingdom of God. None of these things moved Paul and Barnabas, the things that they endured. He was left for dead, and he's going back to that same place where he was left for dead. But they were confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them, continue in the faith, continue to believe. There's going to be these Jews that don't believe that Christ was the Messiah, and they're going to persecute you. Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith anyways. We, through much tribulation, will enter into the kingdom of God. And they ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So exactly how Paul and Barnabas began their journey from Antioch of Syria through the commending of the Holy Spirit, they did the same thing here and pray with. There was prayer and fasting in Antioch of Syria, and they did the same here. That they prayed with fasting and they commended them to the Lord on whom they had come to believe. And after that, they passed through Pisidia and they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. So here's some interesting events. They get to Perga, and Perga is now down at the coast. They were inland, and now they come back down to the coast, getting ready to sail from Perga back to Antioch of Syria, back home. So they're in this city of Perga, a seaside village. Well, what happened on the way there, at the beginning of the journey, as they arrived at Perga, that's where John Mark decided that he was going to leave Barnabas and Saul, and he was going to go back to Jerusalem. He abandoned the mission. And it was certainly a sorrowful time for the Apostle Paul. It was a difficult thing. And we can read in the next chapter how Paul didn't want to take John Mark with them on their next journey. So it was a difficult remembrance that they had, Paul and Barnabas had, as they came to Perga. This is where John Mark left us. But what's he say? They came and they preached the word at Perga. The Apostle Paul had encouraged young Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. This was probably a time when they were out of season. This was a bad memory. Here in Perga, John Mark left us, but yet they preached the word anyway. They preached the word. So if we go back through this chapter 14, we can see how diligent the apostles were in fulfilling the command of Jesus Christ to go forth and teach all nations, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. If we go to verse number 1, we read that they so spake, they delivered, they preached the gospel in such a manner that a great multitude of both Jews and Gentiles believed. Verse number 3, we read that they were speaking boldly in the Lord. They were bringing forth the gospel message, preaching it forth. Verse number 7, we read that in Lycaonia, there they preached the gospel. Verse number 15, we read that they preached unto them that they should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Verse number 21, we read, and they preached the gospel to that city. And here in Perga, we read again that the apostle Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel there in Perga. They fulfilled the command of the Lord. And so they depart from Perga, they travel across the Mediterranean Sea, and they get back to their hometown of Antioch in Syria. And it says that they gathered the whole church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. They shared with the whole church all the things that happened, how that's what happened to that sorcerer, and how that deputy came to faith, how they were preaching the gospel to those in Antioch, and that one Sabbath day there was almost the whole city came together. And we went to Iconium, and great things happened there. We went to Lystra, and there was that impotent man that they, through the power of the Spirit, we made him to walk again. And there were signs and wonders being done by our hands. They were given witness and testimony to all the things that the Lord had done and encouraged them in their faith. It was a great blessing. And today it can be no different. The gospel of Jesus Christ has to be preached, and the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. Nothing can take the place of the gospel. The word of the Lord went forth in subsequent missionary journeys by the Apostle Paul, and through Peter, and through John the Apostle, and through many others. And nations had come to believe, just as Jesus had it planned, go forth and teach all nations. So we get to Revelation, and the Apostle John here records, he says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, of those of Lycaonia, Lystra, Syria, all these places, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Amen.
God told Ananias that I will show Paul what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And we've read some of those things that Paul has suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. A man who was led by the Spirit, lived in the Spirit, who had performed miracles, raising people from the dead, doing things that no man has seen before. And here, man falls down to worship him. And what man today is able to handle, to be able to go up to someone and make a lame man walk? That's taken away from us, because man can't handle that. The praise that would be thrust upon as the city came and bowed before him, he says, get up. All the faithful apostles always said, just get up. I'm a man like you are. You know, where is our heart? Are we that humble? You know, when we just get maybe a little bit of, oh, wow, you did a really good job. You did this. And right away you feel, yeah, I feel pretty good about myself. You know, where is our spirit? And it tells us in Romans, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit of God, over and over, Christ talks about meekness and humbleness. No lifting yourselves up and so on. Then later says, and then we are the children of God. Then later says, the Spirit itself, with a capital S, beareth witness with our spirit, with a small s, that we are the children of God, when we are led and follow after the Spirit. And so we see the Apostle Paul being led by the Spirit in full submission, never looking for praise for himself, always giving God glory. And we know that after this account, it tells us in Corinthians, it says, Paul is writing, he says, about 14 years ago, and that would place him right around this time here, in his first missionary journey, he says, about 14 years ago, he said, I had a vision, whether I was in the body or out of the body. Maybe that was right here, what we read, when he was stoned and supposed to be dead. And that word supposed really is one that they had evidence that he was dead. They didn't just, well, I think he's dead. They were convinced he was dead, and they left him. They wouldn't have left him if they just thought, well, he might be dead. They killed him. Maybe they didn't kill him. Maybe God did raise him from the dead. Maybe he was just unconscious. It doesn't matter. But he received a vision in that moment. God is able, of course, to raise him from the dead, just like he made the donkey speak last week that we read. But he received a vision, and he didn't speak about those things. Today, if we just have some kind of dream, we're ready to write books and, you know, what experience I had and so on. Paul says it's not lawful for me to write those things, what I've experienced. The Spirit, when we are led by the Spirit, and this is a really beautiful hymn that we close with, dear ones. Spirit, it's a spirit of faith, of power, obedience, discipline, author of God's works, endower of his gifts in hearts of men. This is the Spirit that is to lead us, a faith of power. And so, if the Spirit of God leads us, he witnesses with my spirit that I am a son of God. May we, dear ones, look at an example of Paul, not to put the glory on him, but to see an example of what a man who is in full submission to God, when he receives the Spirit of God, the power that he can walk in and yet walk humbly and meekly before him, giving God all glory for all good things. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.